Today's Radio Rotary Show is brought to you by Lutheran Care Center, located on Route 44 in Poughkeepsie. Specializing in geriatric care, Lutheran Care Center.
And Scott is here.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
So this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley in Rotary District 7210, where you can hear any of these shows over again on Rotary District 7210's website. Just use our search engine, you can find it. Today, we have a fascinating show. We are going to explore what is Cornell Cooperative Extension and something about Ghana, which we'll find out at the end of the show. I drive by the Cornell Cooperative Extension so much, but it's a building setback on a nice plot of land with a garden out front. But what is Cornell Cooperative Extension? And today we have Christine Sargent, who has been there for over almost 10 years as a member there. Are you an agent or?
We used to be known as federal agents, that is true, but now we are called Extension Educators.
Extension Educators. So she's an Extension Educator. What is Cornell Cooperative Extension of Dutchess County?
Of Dutchess County. Well, each cooperative extension in each county, their purpose is to find out what the needs are of their community, and that we have done here in Dutchess County. And then we shape our educational programs so that we can bring research-based information, turn it into easy-to-use, easy-to-understand tools, and we teach it out to the community so they can use those issues to maybe change their lives in better ways.
Now, what happens if how often do you assess what the needs are of the community? For example, 30 years ago, we had a lot more farms here.
Mm-hmm, very true. Our longest standing program at our cooperative extension, and probably any extension office in the nation, is the agriculture department. And we do still have a very strong agricultural horticulture department. But what we do is we assess. We have a schedule of every 5 years, and we have to do a very formal assessment for Cornell University so they can be assured that we're meeting the needs of our community. But I can tell you that we are constantly assessing what's happening in our community. One of our projects at the moment, the Mile a Minute Vine Problem, is a brand new emerging need that just has arisen this spring. And I can mention a little bit more about that later.
Okay, great. And where are you located?
Our office is at 2715 Route 44 up in Millbrook. That is the heart of the county, if you looked at the map, and that's why our offices are there. It's right probably at the intersection with 44A, or what used to be the 44A extension. We are a big brick flat building set off the road. Everybody wonders what we are because it just says Farm and Home Center in the front, but that's where you can find us.
Great Farm and Home Center. So what kind of programs do you have at the Farm and Home Center? Should I call it Farm and Home Center? Or?
You can. At the Farm and Home Center, there are actually a couple of other agencies that rent property from us and have their offices there. That would be the USDA Farm Service Organization, and the Dutchess County Soil and Water Conservation District is also in the building. We at Cornell Cooperative Extension have four departments. I've already mentioned the Agriculture Horticulture Department. We also have the Environment Program, which has just come back to us this past year. We have the 4-H Youth Development Program, another area that people have known about for many years, the 4-H clubs. And then the department that my programs are housed in is called Family and Consumer Sciences. And in that department, we have the Food, Nutrition, and Wellness Programs, which is my area of subject matter. And we have the Relatives as Parents Program, and we have financial management programs that are available to the community.
So funding comes from... Where does the funding come from to run the organization?
Well, that's always a challenge these days because we are a nonprofit organization. Now, the U.S. government does sort of mandate that there be an extension in every state, and then each county, the state encourages each county to operate an extension office that comes from the research organization, which in our state is Cornell University. However, there is not a funding stream that guarantees you the programming that you see in each county for extension. Some of our funding at Cornell Cooperative Extension in Dutchess County is provided by the County of Dutchess, and we are so grateful for that support from them. So each of our departments has a little bit of core funding that we work from that is provided by the county. Otherwise, we rely on various grants, and we also rely on donations from people who support Extension and the work we do. And we also have a membership. People can become members at Extension for only $15 a year, and they receive certain resources that come along with that.
And what is the what are some of those resources then?
Well, we have our Land and Living magazine. A lot of people aren't aware that we have a Land and Living magazine, and we provide research and other updates in that magazine. It comes out quarterly, I believe. And then if you sign up, each department that you check off on your enrollment form will send you periodically information and updates from their area of expertise. We in Food, Nutrition, and Wellness send out newsletters. We also give our membership either free or discounted attendance at workshops that we're providing, and other amenities as much as we can.
So you, I want to go back to something you said in the beginning about the Cooperative Extension's offices. All in New York State, it's all from Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
But does every county in New York State have an office like the R. Fomenham Center?
Originally, they did. And a few years ago, with all the crises that were coming up for counties to be able to afford the programs or the business of doing business in each county, some of the programs were cut. And I have to say there are at least two counties in New York now that do not have a cooperative extension anymore. We were at risk. We had some of our programs cut a few years back, but in the years since, the county has been very supportive and very encouraging of our program staying in this county, and that has to do with the residents that are out there that use our programs, and that's what we want to see.
Now, it's very interesting. What is some of the history of this? I mean, when did they start? How long has the Farm and Home Center idea been around?
Well, the cooperative extension system is over 150 years old. It came with westward expansion. The government said, hey, any of you universities that are willing to go out and support people who might be farming out west, we'll give you land to build your university on. And the only thing we need from you is that you'll support those farmers that are moving out west to help you. And so to help settle the country, that's what the government came up with, and it's been very effective. Our programs have come from agriculture, moving up to helping homemakers, the women in the families, deal with family issues. So food and nutrition programs came into it very early on. And then the youth, who were very essential, had a very essential role in the family farm, were also brought into extension programs through 4-H, where we had originally clubs in animal husbandry and food preparation and things like that. It's now much more modern. We still have the club focus, but they have some brand new clubs that are really great. The young people are loving, such as the Outdoor Education Club, the Running Club, and the ATV Club. So we definitely stay with the times. We have a long history, but we definitely change with the times.
The ATV Club is more expensive because of gas and things.
Well, I would defer to Fred Loff, our 4-H director, to answer that question.
Now, have you visited other farm and home centers in other states?
Yes, and they aren't always called farm and home centers. You may want to just kind of Google.
Cooperative Extension.
Go to the Cornell Cooperative Extension statewide website, and you can link to any extension in your community. There's a link to every county. If there's not an extension in your county, they can refer you to what county might provide resources to you. Pretty much there's an office much like ours. I have to say we have one of the nicer offices. We have a lot of resources that the community can come and use. We have very extensive volunteer programs, so anyone that wants to either do casual volunteering or enroll and become a trained volunteer in extension in any one of our topic areas, we probably have a program for you. We do, of course, in food, nutrition, and wellness. We have the NVPs, the Nutrition Volunteer Program, that we're really proud of.
So now let's talk about that garden that's out front of your...
I'd love to talk about that garden.
How is it that there's not a fence around your garden?
Well, we're very proud to say that we have never had a deer problem in our vegetable garden, and I suppose I should knock on wood here. But we've had that garden for about 6 or 7 years, and the reason we've never had deer is that we have this very rudimentary fence that's around it, and we will give you the instructions for doing it. It's very inexpensive. We have a 36-inch post put every, I think it's 5 or 6 feet. We take a cotton cord at 30 inches above the ground. We weave it around this fence post. We put another one at 6 inches off the ground, and then we treat it with a deer product on the top cord, a woodchuck product on the bottom. And I'm telling you, we have had no problems. Our only problems this year is Japanese beetles, which I'm sure many of our homeowners are finding a challenge with this year. But we'll be happy to show you that garden if you'd want to stop by and tell you more about it. It's also a planter row for the Hungry Garden. All the food from that garden goes to the hungry families of Dutchess County. Fruits and vegetables are the first food group to go when money gets tight. And as we all know, money is getting tighter. So we're happy to take those donations and distribute them out to people who need them.
That's terrific. And so you, just by calling the Farm and Home Center or Cooperative Extension here in Dutchess County, and that phone number is
677-8223, and our wonderful reception ladies can put you in touch with any person you need to speak to.
And you will then get those directions on how to help your garden. I know that my wife, Allison, did that already.
Did she? Oh, she stopped by. That's
she
right.
She stopped by and talked to you. So now we're going to take a break from our sponsor. And our sponsor today is the Lutheran Care Center, located on Route 44 in Poughkeepsie, specializing in geriatric care, and we're very, very happy to have them. And we also have Rotary International as our sponsor. And here is Rotary International.
You can help promote peace and understanding. Rotary sponsors youth exchange between nations. High school students from one country are supported for a year with families in another country. It's a great opportunity to learn and to enjoy the experience of international living. Rotary clubs here sponsor students traveling to other countries. Rotary clubs in those other countries sponsor those students for their year abroad. Rotarians believe that nothing promotes peace like knowledge of other cultures. Apply for a Rotary Youth Exchange and help promote peace and understanding around the world.
Thank you very much. That's wonderful. And we do have two Youth Exchange students that are going outbound with us today. And we are going to talk some more with Christine and with our exchange students, Abby and Claire. But it's time for...
Presidential brain.
Well, we're going to start with, because we have two exchange students,
okay.
I have Scientific American Geography quiz deck knowledge cards. And these knowledge cards come in a little deck, and they have some questions on them, and on the back is the answer. And I think that our students are going to know these questions right off the bat. Here's the first one. Where is the Iberian Peninsula?
Well, it would sound like it would have to be in Spain.
And Abby, were you not going to Spain? The Iberian Peninsula identifies the most southwestern portion of the European continent landmass. Now I want to know what countries comprise this peninsula. These are easy questions. It contains the countries of Spain and Portugal and the British colony of Gibraltar. So that is that. Okay, here's an easier question. Where is the world's tallest waterfall?
In Venezuela.
Venezuela. Brilliant. Brilliant. And what's the name of it?
Let me ponder this. Angel Falls.
Angel Falls. Brilliant job. Brilliant, brilliant job, Claire. Abby, what are the names of the seven natural wonders of the world? Think about that for a minute, Abby. All seven of them I want. Okay, Abby, what's the first
Harbor
one?
Harbor of Rio de Janeiro.
Okay.
One of the volcanoes in Mexico. The Great Barrier Reef in
Australia. Oh, the Great Barrier Reef. Love that, yeah.
The Grand Canyon.
The Grand Canyon.
Victoria Falls.
Victoria Falls.
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest.
And the Northern Lights.
Oh, the Northern Lights. I love that. I might have forgotten Mount Everest. Oh, nice job, Abby. Good job. Now it is time for Presidential Brainiac, and here are the questions today. Who went 7-for-7 in Democratic primaries leading up to the 1960 presidential election? 1960. Who became president in 1960?
Well, it's Kennedy that became president in 1960.
John F. Kennedy. Mm. So when he accepted the nomination for the Democratic Convention, he referred to the 1960s as the new frontier. So he went 7-for-7. Mm-hmm. Now, the last question today, we're going to take it from the same time. What 1960s incumbent used the campaign slogan, "The stakes are too high for you to stay at home," and try to get people out to vote?
It might have been Goldwater.
Johnson. Johnson. Was it really? Lyndon B. Johnson.
Wow,
good job. Nice, Claire. With this slogan, LBJ was also referring to the dangers of electing Barry Goldwater, who might use nuclear bombs in Vietnam.
Mm.
Nice job. Good job. So now, going back to our discussion with Christine Sargent, who is from the Cornell Cooperative Extension here in Dutchess County, she has a program that she does to enhance her knowledge of and work at Cooperative Extension. She happens to be a food and nutritionist, in charge of the food, nutrition, and wellness program.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And so let's talk about that a tiny bit, and then let's go to Ghana, and we have Abby and Claire who are going to help us with the questions.
Let's go to Ghana. I like that idea. Well, our food, nutrition, and wellness programs, we really take two approaches, and I think a lot of our program staff at Cooperative Extension do this. Whenever you want to see change happen for the better, either in an individual's life, say, for example, if you're trying to improve your diet, or, you know, for a community to have change occur, education needs to be part of it. But also we need to facilitate change in the environment. That means if our communities or our schools, for example, are set up to create obese children, or more likely to create obese children than they are to create healthy children, then we need to change that environment. And I can tell you honestly, most of the schools in our county are really willing to do that. So an example of what we do at Extension, and especially in our nutrition programs, is we'll go out and teach about eating healthier or changing your behaviors in terms of your diet. But we also go into communities and schools and we help them change the way things are set up so that it's easier for you to eat better and make better choices. So in doing that here in Dutchess County through our many funding streams, and we have several grants in our food, nutrition, and wellness area, it helps me to go abroad and look at a culture that has a lot of the stuff we're used to in the United States stripped away. So here we have this very enormous, very intense healthcare system with insurance companies and all of these things. We have this very huge money-making machine that is media and advertising in the United States. We have these transportation systems. We have, you know, these school systems. I took a trip to Ghana, which is in West Africa, and am being given the great gift of working in the Sunyani region, which is in northwestern Ghana. And there I'm working with communities that have none of this infrastructure. And there I get to get down to the basic grassroots of what are the real issues in food, nutrition, health, well-being that people are grappling with there. And in helping them within their culture and their background, working in that environment, it's really adding a richness to what I can bring back to my job here in Dutchess County. It helps me sort of dismantle the layers of all the influencing factors that are affecting one person's eating habits. You may think you're choosing what you eat, but I can promise you there are 150 to 200 other influencing factors that are going to be choosing what you eat for dinner tonight.
That's amazing. So you're taking what you've learned here, mm-hmm. applying it to Ghana, mm-hmm. and then also you're learning something from what's happening in Ghana, bringing it back here. So it's always a two-way street.
Always.
So you're learning things there, and you're not – let's take one example of the water, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, Rotary has a program for pure water where we set up these purification systems all around the world. You have also been doing something with pure water, and what's that?
Well, right now I'm in the rudimentary stages of doing assessments down in the communities of Sunyani in Ghana. And when I go in and look at whether they are healthy and well-nourished, and I'm finding that they aren't, and I look at all the factors that tell me why they are not, water seems to be the key issue. Ghana was formerly a colony of another major country on our globe, and the resources were very much exploited. And one of the resources that were taken was the timber. The jungle has been completely eradicated there. And when they took the jungle, what they did was open up the ground for severe evaporation during the dry months, which is one quarter of the year is complete, completely rain-free or almost completely. So all the groundwater dries up. So those families that are used to walking a mile or up to 9 miles three times a day just to get water for their family will walk to these streams and they're completely gone. And what do you do for 3 months when your water supply has been taken away from you? So they're trying to restore the forest, but it would never be restored to its full glory or its full protective ability. So I go there for food nutrition and I find that there's no water. Well, we also have sanitation issues. A lot of foodborne illness and other illnesses because there are no waste, there's no infrastructure for waste management there. I go there and I find that crops are failing because there are no irrigation systems because the water is in such despair during a quarter of the year. So how do I deal with food issues when the water issues have to come first. Well, when you look at all of these issues, there are layers upon layers of who's influencing the fact that there's no water. The government's there. They can build infrastructure. They're slowly doing that. But what do we do in the meantime? We have people who need water immediately. Well, one of the things that the Rotary's doing with their water purification program is they're helping that when they do find water and they take it up and use it for their family, the purification systems will help remove any bacteria and help sanitize that water, so at least the families aren't getting sick. So if they have to walk further for water, they're going to be able to do that more likely if they're not sick. So water purification is one end. The next end is to start putting wells and other water management systems in each village. If we can get one well in each village, everyone has access to water. So it's a step-by-step process that takes many people.
Let's go back to this well, because I saw the picture of the wells that you put in. That it's that old pump handle kind of a well.
Yeah.
And then around it, there was no distribution system for the other water. And what happens then?
Well, that's, again, a sanitation problem. So these layers of problems come into it that we need to deal with. And education comes into play. So we create the system. We put in one pump well in their town. It's a huge thing for them. What a luxury. But we also have to educate them about keeping the animals and other wastes out of that trough where the water's coming in. If people are washing their clothing there or the animals are drinking out of it, you're talking contamination. So we have fresh water coming out of the tap, out of the spout, contaminated after the fact because of the lack of knowledge about what sanitation entails. So it has to be twofold, education and systems development.
Yeah, I love that idea of education is always the key. So in Ghana, you did the water, you've looked at the food, you've looked at the people, the cultures of the people. And we should mention that you are a nutritional biochemist. You have your master's degree in that.
That's right.
And you are going, starting in September, for your doctorate in anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have with us Claire and Abby, who are junior anthropologists, because they're going to be going to another country, and they will learn some other cultures just from osmosis, just from being there. And what do you think? Do you have any questions for Christine or ideas? Or
I have a question. What was it that inspired you to get involved in this kind of a program?
The one in Ghana? Well, I can tell you, I grew up in western Pennsylvania in a very small town near Indiana. We're the home of Jimmy Stewart, just to throw that in. And my father was a steel worker. He just retired a couple months ago. And in the 70s, we had a Great Recession, and I remember my family having a really hard time heating our home, driving our car, putting food on the table. And I guess at that time, I wanted to always do something that helped the hungry. Then when we began to understand genetics, which is just something that I'm interested in, and we began to realize that the birthplace of our civilization was in Africa, that they can track the genetics back in the original chromosome pattern takes us back to southern Africa. It just seemed so important to me that the rest of this world seems so flourishing compared to the hunger and poverty in Africa, but yet it's the birthplace of our entire globe. Why are those children still starving? So to me, it was why I became a dietitian, was to work with the hungry, and my goal has always been to try and go to Africa. So I have a friend, John Cherame, who's a priest in my town, who has been very helpful and got me connected with some people down in Ghana, and that's how I've been able to go there. So it is a great gift and a great grace put on me to have been able to go. Some people sponsored my flight and are continuing to work with me on the projects as we try to raise funds and develop systems down in Ghana.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And how does Cooperative Extension, they give you a sabbatical, or they, during that period, you take vacation time? What is it?
Extension has been very supportive. I guess in part it's for my long time served. But they actually were very supportive. I was fully prepared with a month's vacation saved up to use when I went to Ghana, but because they could see the parallels and the benefit that it would bring to my work here and to Extension, they were kind enough to give me that time as paid leave. To do my doctoral in anthropology, I've earned a year sabbatical to do that. I don't think I'll need the whole thing for the initial coursework, but I feel very grateful that I work for an organization that supports education and development and growth,
and
Extension definitely does that.
That's great. It sounds like you're doing a terrific job. Do you have, Abby, do you have any questions that or ideas, or how does this compare to your visit to Chile, for example? Abby's going to be spending a year in Chile this coming year. She's she just graduated from Pine Plains High School, and she will be taking a year in Chile as part of the Rotary Youth Exchange Program, which promotes youth, which promotes understanding and peace. So how does the story you've heard here, Abby, relate to you going to Chile for a year?
Well, I mean, in Chile, they also, I mean, everything isn't perfect. It's not always like the United States, I don't think. And I think that I can relate to her experiences a lot because it's, you know, kind of situations that she may have in Ghana may be similar to areas in Chile. And I think you were saying before that you were working in areas of South America. Mm-hmm. And I have a little mic issue. And I just think it's great to have somebody else come and share her experiences with me so I can, you know, not just look for, you know, all the great things that I'll experience. I may experience some things living abroad that I may see, and I may say, you know, this is what she told me, and, you know, just so I can kind of put it together.
That's great. And Claire is an exchange student as well, and she'll be spending a year abroad in Italy. She graduated from the Millbrook High School just last week or a couple weeks ago, and she will be going to Italy for the year and spending the whole year there. What do you think? What are your impressions of the similarities?
Well, I know obviously the conditions aren't exactly alike in Italy and Ghana, but just using your, I don't know, just putting, like, the Rotary's motto is service above self, and just thinking that and keeping that in mind with all your actions and trying to represent your country well.
So we've been talking about differences, but what are the similarities? I mean, people are people.
Mm-hmm.
What are the similarities between Ghana and Dutchess County?
I can tell you that what impressed me most about the country of Ghana was the unbelievable welcoming nature of the people. My mom, I can tell you, was petrified that I was not coming back and something would happen to me because she's never left our small town in Pennsylvania. But I never felt unsafe. I was very well cared for. It sounds very much like the families that will be hosting Abby and Claire will be giving them such support and such a good, strong anchor, and they'll go out from there and experience the communities that they're getting immersed in. And that gift was provided for me while I was in Ghana. I moved every day or every 5 days. I never knew where I was going from one day to the next, but it's the people and the support that they give you and how they open themselves up to you, even though you're a complete stranger, that makes it possible for you to open up yourself and absorb everything around you and really change you deep down inside. And that's what the most important thing is that you're going to bring back.
What happened when you did come back and you were gone a month, you said?
About three weeks.
Three weeks. You were gone 3 weeks. When you came back to the United States after those 3 weeks, was there any culture shock or?
I had a strange exception. While I was in Ghana, my thyroid gland failed, so I actually came back very, very sick.
Oh, my gosh.
But it had nothing to do with the country of Ghana. It's just probably a genetic thing. I have to say I have never been so happy to see my nice, clean, white pillow in my life. I probably for 2 weeks had nothing even close to a shower. I had challenges eating while I was there, mostly because I was sick, but also the richness of the food. You have to get used to in a third world country initially. The medications that I had to take, the antimalarials and so forth, bit of a challenge for me. But, you know, it was such a haze of incredible experience that you really don't remember the difficulties once you come back.
So something, how long ago, when did you do this? How long
it was
ago?
Last August.
Last August. So this is something you'll have for the rest of your life.
Yes.
And are you planning on having more going back to Ghana?
Yes. I have a 5-year visa, which could be extended so that I can return at least once a year to help continue and develop the projects and take volunteers in the future.
And are you doing, are you still communicating with people in Ghana now?
Yes, very much.
Great. Well, this has been wonderful and very interesting. We've been talking to Christine from the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Dutchess County and about her project in Ghana. And as she goes on to become a world-class anthropologist in the future yeah. years, and also exchange students Claire and Abby are spending a year abroad. So this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210, signing off. Thank you very much.
Today's Radio Rotary Show has been brought to you by the Lutheran Care Center, located on Route 44 in Poughkeepsie, New York, specializing in geriatric care in the Hudson Valley.